Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, thanks God for the privilege and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. So we see here by the word of God that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Prayer is important. Worship is important. Fellowship is important. But in terms of priority, faith is number one. So we as born again believers should have an understanding and know the reality of God's word and the importance of faith. Amen. We found out that faith is the key that unlocks the treasure chest of heaven. Faith is the key that moves the hand of the Almighty. Faith is the key by which you can obtain the desires of your heart. Faith is that which pleases God. Amen. And finally, faith is a gift. which comes from God, given to us at the new birth. He gives us faith, but that faith has to be developed. It has not matured. That faith has to be brought to a place of strength. Amen. Now, being born again is a spiritual transaction. It has nothing in the world to do with your flesh. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse number 6, it says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." Amen. Notice it did not say, "That which is born of the spirit is flesh." It did not say, "That which is born of the spirit is soul." But it did say, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." All flesh can do is reproduce other flesh. And he said, "That which is born of the spirit is spirit." Amen. Now, what Jesus is saying is the new birth is the rebirth of the human spirit. The flesh remains the same, but it is the spirit that is made anew. The spirit is the one that has been created in Christ Jesus, a new creature, that man on the inside. It's up to you to do something about the man on the inside, about the flesh or the body. But it is necessary that you understand that you are sons of God if you have been born again. You are legally sons of God. And because you are legally sons of God, then you have a right, a legal right, to everything that God has. It belongs to you. If I had children, then everything that I have, my children will always have. They have a right to it. They don't have to pay for it. All they have to do is ask for it. God does that, and that's why he tells us, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." That's found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. He didn't say it might be opened. He didn't say there's a chance you will find. He said, "Seek, and you will find." He said, "Ask, and you receive." If you look at that in reverse order, it will say, if you don't ask, you won't receive. And if you don't seek, you won't find. And if you don't knock, the door won't be open. You have to know and understand that you are legally a son of God. And because you are legally a son of God, then you have a legal right to everything that heaven has to offer. Amen. When Christians know and understand, see, you can know something and not understand it. That's why I specifically say know and understand. It's a combination of those two words. When Christians know and understand that, they will come out of the poverty trap. They will come out of the sickness syndrome, and they will begin to walk on the plateau of strong faith. They will begin to exercise their blood-bought rights, their legal rights, and they will begin to break the shackles of darkness and sin, sickness and poverty, and spiritual death, and Satan and demons. They will begin to exert their sonship in life, in this life, as sons of God should live. You have to understand that you are legally a child of God. It has nothing to do with how you feel about it. It is because it is legally true. It doesn't matter how you feel. You are God's legal child. He wants you to take care of you, but you don't know that you can't take care of your children unless your children allow you to. Well, God can't take care of you unless you let him. Some of you won't let God take care of you. That's why he can't do anything though he wants to. God cannot make you accept anything. You have to receive it on your own by faith. Amen? Now, you being a legal child, as I said, God wants to take care of you. But he can't take care of you as his child unless you let him. God can't take care of you unless you let him do it. When Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot come to know the kingdom of God. The natural man and his natural mind with his natural logic cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them. They are foolish to him because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man cannot come to know the things of the Spirit of God. Only your reborn spirit can come to know the things of the Spirit of God. So understand, you are legally a son of God. Amen. Now let's look in the Bible and see something else that I agree is of the utmost importance to us and most people overlook. Turn your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 1. Again, that's Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. And it says, and he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence or the superiority. Now, please understand that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. We, the born again Christians, we are the church. Jesus is the head. We are his body. It says, but God says that Jesus is also the firstborn from the dead. Now, please think with me for a moment. If there's a firstborn, there has to be a secondborn, a thirdborn, a fourthborn, a fifthborn, a sixthborn, etc., etc. Thank God I'm in that number somewhere. The question is, are you in that number? Jesus is the firstborn. Let's look back in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, and read verse 14, a very interesting statement that that John makes concerning Christ. Remember, verse 1 of that same chapter, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we read in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. At that time, Jesus was the only begotten, but after he went to the cross and died, and then arose from the dead and conquered death, hell, and the grave, he became the firstborn from the dead. Jesus actually died twice. Let me repeat that because I know that's going to take some of you by surprise. Jesus actually died twice. Amen. He died twice for us. Whether you know it or not, Jesus had to die spiritually. That's right. Jesus died spiritually. And when you die spiritually, you are separated from the Father. Jesus had to die spiritually. Jesus died twice. The Bible says that Jesus became sin for us, and he condemned sin in the flesh. Please go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to read verse number 21. And it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." The only way that Jesus could condemn sin in the flesh was to become sin. He had to become sin in order to condemn sin. That's what he meant in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was praying and he said, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." Jesus didn't really want to go to the cross. He didn't want to be separated from the Father. He had never been separated from his Father. He don't know what death was all about, and he didn't want to do it. But we can see he says, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." So Jesus was willing to go because it was the will of the Father. Amen. That cup that Jesus was talking about contained all the dregs of sin and damnation. And Jesus was about to drink that cup and become sin for us. His very nature, his very spirit consciousness rebelled against that. And he said, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." Because it meant that he was spiritually alive to Christ, and he had not known sin, would now die spiritually by drinking that cup. That cup represented the sins of the entire world. Jesus had to die spiritually. You have to understand this, family. Jesus had to die spiritually. He had not died spiritually. If he had not died spiritually, he could have not died physically. Amen. If Jesus had not died spiritually, he certainly could have not died physically. If Jesus was going to be our sacrifice, he had to die and become sin. That's what it meant when he said he became sin for us, because he died spiritually. Then, when he was raised from the dead, he was born again spiritually, and he became the first begotten or the firstborn from the dead. Amen. God raised him up, and he was born again in the spirit. Understand that Jesus was not sin in the natural. He was not sin in the natural. He did not come into the world as a sinner, as we do, because we come into this world with the sin nature. He came into the world without the sin nature because he had to become sin in order to condemn sin in the flesh. So he willingly offered himself up and died on behalf of man to redeem man and the whole world. Amen. Remember, when Adam died, he plunged the whole human race into sin. Not only the human race, the natural, the plants, the animals, everything. He affected the whole world. Amen. When God raised him up, he became the first begotten or the firstborn from the dead. Again, found in Colossians 1:18. When Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again," that's when he became, or that's when we became, number two, number three, number four, etc. Amen. You have to get that in your spirit. You can't get it in your brain. That's what happened. The Bible tells us, he who knew no sin became sin. How did Jesus become sin? How did the Son of God become sin? The only way he became sin was to die in the spirit. Amen. When he died in the spirit, he condemned sin in the flesh and offered himself up as a living sacrifice. Then when God raised him from the dead, he became the firstborn from the dead. Jesus was actually born again. He was the first one to be born again. Amen. Jesus willingly became sin for us. He had a choice, and he offered himself up as a living sacrifice. That's important. As a living sacrifice, and condemned sin in the flesh. Now, we can be born again as a result of what Jesus did for us. And because of what he did for us, we can become legally the sons of God. Amen. Now, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to go to verse number 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Jesus uses the same words he used when he talked to Nicodemus. And it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Amen. God's word is everlasting. We are born again by the word of God. Amen. Now, please turn with me to the book of John, chapter 3. Again, John, chapter 3. And let's look at a verse here. John, chapter 3, verse number 5. And it says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, the word water in this verse is not water baptism. It has nothing to do with water baptism. The word water is symbolic for the word. The word water is symbolic for the word. You are born again of the word of God and the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit that quicken or makes us alive through the word. As the Spirit of God saturates and energizes that word, it becomes alive within us. Now, there are two agents involved in the new birth, just as there are two agents involved in the natural birth. It takes a male and a female. It takes a sperm and an egg. The sperm fertilizes the egg. Conception takes place, and the child is born out of his mother's womb into the world. The spiritual birth is on this wise. The word of God goes forth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right? So the word goes forth, and you hear the word. And so you get faith for that word. The Holy Spirit fertilizes the word, and it bursts into life within us, and a man is born out of the world into Christ Jesus. Well, you know what? I'm just about out of time, but please join us next week when we will continue our teaching on you must know and understand the reality of God's word. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.